Mirt Hashem, Korvzman, after Yom Tov, we're going to begin Iyun from Daf Beis, from the beginning of the Sechta, really netter. But over the course of Elzman, it's hard not to take the opportunity learning Gittin in the El of Ashnas Hashmita. It's hard not to take the opportunity to wrap our arms around Shnas Hashmita through the world of learning. Because, as you know, Shnas Hashmita this past year, according to most Rishonim, has been Shmita. And it as the opening Mishnah in Masach Rosh Hashanah tells us, Shmita runs from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, from Aleph Tishrei until Chav Tes Elul. So the Shnas Hashmita, we have less than a month left to the Shnas Hashmita, to Shabbat Haaretz, to the year, which is the Shabbos. Maybe some of you, almost a year ago, saw Derhoibina videos, elevated, holy videos, of farmers, the end of last Elul, singing out in the field, singing a Kabbalah Shabbos, being Makabal, the year of Shemitah, the year that the Torah refers to as the Shabbos, welcoming in the Kedusha of Shemitah. And some of us had a chance over the course of the last year to be in Eretz Yisrael. Many of us did not. And if you're in Chutz La'aretz, so Shemitah seems mostly negative. It's about those fruits. Any other year you get the Israeli carrots, you have a chance to be in kind of mitzvah trumas and maizos. But when the Israeli carrots come in Shnas Hashmitah, there's just nothing to do with them. So we often experience, in Chutz, if you're in Chutz La'aretz, so often one's experience of Shemitah is primarily negative or just non-existent. But the truth is there are two parts to Shemitah. The bulk of the Hilchah Shemitah and the bulk of the Prakim Masech HaShviyas are devoted to the agricultural parts of Shemitah. Shemitah's Karkos, the Shemitah of the land. Both in terms of the farmer's restrictions on what sort of work he can do in his farm, which, by the way, if you do live in Eretz Yisrael, you need not be a farmer to deal with the Isser Malacha, because taking care of your lawn and taking care of the flowers potentially, taking care of the vegetables growing in the backyard, taking care of the fruit tree growing in the front, those are all governed by the dinam of Shemitah's Karkos, the Isser Malacha. Shemitah's Karkos includes not only restrictions on how you handle what you can and cannot do for the soil and for the plants, but also speaks to the dinam of that which grows, particularly, without getting into too much detail, particularly tree fruit, where it doesn't have to be planted. A tree doesn't have to be planted every year. You have the tree that's been growing for years. When it gives fruit in the Shnas HaShemitah, so that fruit, the Peir Shviyas, have Kedusha. A fellow pointed out to me around 2 months ago that the Peir Shviyas are Bizman HaZeh, the only Davar Kadosh that we can eat. It's the only Davar Kadosh that one need not be Tohar in order to consume. And I was very set this past summer on having that opportunity to eat Peir Shviyas. I tried the figs and carob initially a little too early. It wasn't yet ripe, but Baruch Hashem, before the last week in Eretz Yisrael, I was able to indulge in Peir Shviyas. So when we think of, and there are other dinim of the produce as well, when we think of Shemitah, we often think of the Shemitah's Karkos, the different agricultural aspects of Shemitah, in terms of what sort of work you do, in terms of everything being hefker, in terms of achilas haperis, and beer, and svichim, and so on and so forth. That's one part, the larger part of Shemitah. And that part of Shemitah, again, it is, as the Mishnah tells us at the end of the first period of Kiddushin, agricultural mitzvahs typically apply only in Eretz Yisrael. Shumas, Semaishis, Lechet, Shikhapeya, Shemitah, Yovel, with few exceptions, agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. But there's another half of Shemitah, and that's what we're going to dive into right now. And that is Shemitah's Ksafim. The Torah tells us in Parshas Re'eh, they'll have a chance soon to look in the Psukim inside. The Torah tells us in Parshas Re'eh that there's another side to Shemitah. In addition to the agriculture, there's financial Shemitah, the Shemitah's Ksafim, Shemitah of money. That does not mean, it's not an exact parallel, it doesn't mean that my bank accounts are open and my investment accounts are open, you can just, you know, take whatever you want from anyone else's account. Not quite the same. But there is a din of Shemitah's Ksafim. And you probably know it relates specifically to what type of money, what type of arrangement? Loans, exactly. So it says in the parashah, right? Very good. What's your name?
Ari Elal.
Ari Elal. So Ari says, loans. The Torah says that the Torah says, beginning of Perek Tezvav of Chumash Devarim, that if I made a loan to you, then Shemitah comes and goes, the loan disappears. Shemitah comes and goes, and I can no longer collect the loan. You'll have a chance to see the Pesukim soon. That's what we call Shemitah's Ksafim, the cancellation of the loans that Shemitah accomplishes. That din does apply. That's not agricultural. That din does apply all over the world. Doesn't matter whether you're in Petach Tikva or you're in Phoenix. It does not matter where you are. Shemitah's Ksafim, Al Pipashas, is a din daraisa, Pesukim of the Chumash. We'll see them soon. That apply no matter where you are. B'chol makom. B'chol makom. Okay, so that's fascinating, and it's coming up. We assume, like the Rov Rishonim, that unlike Shemitah's Karka, which applies throughout the year, Shemitah's Ksafim is concentrated into one day, or maybe one moment in time. The very end of Erev Rosh Hashanah. To paraphrase that famous episode that the Rav tells with him and his father, Moshe Soloveitchik, when the sun sets, this coming Erev Rosh Hashanah, it's a sunset unlike any other. Because that sunset is canceling debts of Jews all over the world. Shemitah's Ksafim. So Shemitah's Ksafim is coming. So you say, okay, very nice. Shemitah's Ksafim is coming. And it would be kedai to learn something Yom Diyama. But it's much more than just that. You can take and pass back. Some of you already have Gemaras. And some of you don't. But right now, for now, you all have the Aflam and Dalet on the days. For you discover, as I told you before, that every Amud in the Masechta has been hidden across the top, and there's a wide variety of topics that the Masechta discusses. And here we are, the two Mishnayos. Here you go. Don't forget your Nata, anyone else? Anyone else need?
Well, I should do it.
Feel free to open the Masechus Gittin if you want, or to look at the page. Either way, but Daf Laman Dalet Amud Beis, the middle of the fourth parak, the middle of parak HaSholeach, the Mishnah tells us about a detail in the Halachas of Shemitah's Ksav. The Mishnah says, the end of two Mishnayos on the Yamad, we're looking at the end of the Sefer de Sefer, the end of the bottom Mishnah. Hillel Hiskin Prusbul, and Tikuna Olam. Hillel is Mesakin and Prusbul to fix the world. Tikun Olam. Tikun Olam. To help society. What is this doing, Mesachas Gittin? So the answer is that earlier in the fourth parak, the Mishnah was discussing Hilchas Gittin and spoke about a particular scenario. Maybe you'll have a chance to see it later in the year about the husband appoints someone as a shliach and then cancels to deliver the get, and then cancels his authority to deliver after the shliach has already left. A potentially dangerous situation. So the Mishnah records, Rav Gamliel made a takana drabanan to impact the way we handle that situation when the husband's mevatzel a shliach. Mipnei tikkun ha'olam, to improve society. Because if the fellow doesn't, if the shliach doesn't know that he's been canceled, the original cancel culture, shliach doesn't know that he's been canceled. He thinks he's still authorized to deliver a get. He delivers a get to the wife. She receives a get. As far as she can tell, this is a valid get. As far as she can tell, she's no longer married. She may begin a new life with another husband. And not knowing that the shlichas had been canceled and the whole get was a sham. So that's a very, very, very severe situation. And through no fault of her own, she's going to end up thinking incorrectly, erroneously, that she was divorced. So the Mishnah says early in the fourth parak, Gamliel made a takana drabanan to change how we handle that, mipnei tikkun olam, to avoid that sort of frightening situation. Okay? That belongs in Maseches Gittin because it's a din, as I said before. For some that sounds abstract, for some that may sound personally painful, but that is a din, obviously, that belongs in Maseches Gittin. Then already the Mishnayos say, Once you mentioned takanot v'tikun olam, let's talk about a slew of takanot v'tikun olam. Show of hands, how many of you have learned Mishnayos Menachos? Okay. How many of you learned Mishnayos Megillah? Okay. So what's something that both Megillah and Menachos have in common, other than the fact they both start with the letter Mem, and they both have a five-letter name? Yeah. Gevaldik. Gevaldik. So Goldberg says they both have this sort of tangent list. Those who learn Megillah, many of you raise your hands. Who you learn Mishnayos Megillah? Just Mishnayos or Gemara, either one. Hopefully, you learn the Gemara. You don't skip the Mishnayos. So you may remember the end of the first parak, a whole slew of ein beins. It starts with Inyane Megillah. Starts with Adarishan Adarsheni, a particular logical framework. We're going to compare and contrast two similar but not identical items, and then, Shalom Aleichem. And then the Mishnayos already pivot from there into a tour of Shas, different areas of Halacha that have that same logical relationship. Ein bein X lo Y, Ella, a very few differences between these two similar concepts. And that the Mishnah goes to that till the end of the parak. In Menachos, a couple hands went up, you all have a different logical structure, which is thinking about different parts, a mitzvah with multiple parts. Do the parts all need each other or not? If I have a beged, I won't ask for hands. I assume everyone's wearing tzitzis. Moreover, I assume that you have strings tied to each of the four corners. Mishnah says in Menachos that the four tzitzios are ma'akva zu. If I have strings on some side, not the other, I'm a kaim zero. If I have a mezuzah with only one parsha, shtei parsha shab mezuzah ma'akva zu. If I have a mezuzah only as shaman navayim shamoa, I accomplish nothing. If I have tefillin, but I'm missing one of the parshas, I'm mekayim nothing. Ma'akva zu'azru. So the Mishnah and the Mishnah at the end of the third parak Menachos have a long list of, again, a tour of Shas, where you have different components, ma'akva zu'azru. And then the fourth parak then goes back to your tzitzis, and here it is safe to ask for hands. How many of you are wearing tchelis? Okay. How many of you are not wearing tchelis? So how are you talking? Why are you wearing white strings for if you're not wearing tchelis? So the answer is because the first mission, the fourth parak, begins a list of situations where, to the contrary, you have different components that can survive without the other. Ein ma'akva zuzu. The mission says that tchelis ein ma'akva zalavan. If you don't have tchelis, you can still be mekayim in the mitzvah of having the white strings. So Megillah, you have a whole slew of different topics in the Mishnayos, but tied together by the logical structure of Ein Bein. And Menachos, you have two series of topics tied together by Ma'akvin Zuzu and Ma'akvin Zuzu. And here in Masechet Gittin, from the middle of the fourth parak into the fifth parak, you have a slew of different topics tied together by Mipnei Tikkun Ha'olam. Tikkun Olam. These are the sugyas of Tikkun Olam. Where Chazal made Dinim Drabanan specifically, there are thousands at least of Dinim Drabanan, made for a wide variety of reasons, mostly Siyagim for a particular, to make it less likely that a Jew will violate a particular Avera. That's the most common reason Chazal make Takanas, though not the only reason. Here, in Maseches Gittin, across the fourth and fifth Prakim, you have a collection in the Mishnayos of Takanas Drabanan that were made b'pnei Tikkun Ha'olam. Starting with a Gittin-related one, and then we're off to the races. Here in particular, then we come back to Dav Lama Dalet. The Mishnah says, one of the many examples is in the world of Shemitah's Ksafin. You have a dinner Shemitah's Ksafin. You told him before, are you the what? All loans are canceled. We paskin, leaving the rush aside. We paskin the road, we show him all loans are canceled. The end of Shemitah, a couple of weeks from now. So Hillel said, Hillel made a takan drabanan, mipnei tikkun ha'olam, in the world of Shemitah's Ksafim. He said, well, we're going to make a prizbal. I don't know what a prizbal is. That's a loaded question. But in the simplest, the one sentence answer. Yeah, what's your name?
Ethan Rothberger.
Yeah.
A document that pretty much you have witnesses that say that the loan will continue
on. Oh, good. Right, a document that you execute. A fellow comes to the basin, and the Mishnayos describe at the end of Maseches Shviyas. The last parak of Shviyas, the 10th parak, is dedicated to Shmitas Ksafen. The first 9 parakim are Shmitas Karka, the 10th parak is Shmitas Ksafen. So the Mishnah there says, and we're going to see that Mishnah in just a few moments, the Mishnah says, yes, there's a din of Shmitas Ksafen, but, as the Mishnah tells here in Gittin, Hillel was Masakin a Prusbul. What's the Prusbul? So as it says, the Mishnah there says, fellow appears before a basin, and he makes some sort of declaration. It's put on into a written document called a Prusbul. And now he has just Shemitah-proofed his loans. Now his loans are no longer cancelable by Shemitah. They will survive a Chavtes Elul Tavshin Pei Beis if you've already executed a Prusbul. You appeared before the Bezin, the document was produced, I have my Prusbul, I'm good to go. The Prusbul protects my loans. Shemitah's Tafim cannot impact the loans. So that's why Shemitah's Ksafim finds its home in Maseches Gittin. You all know that which four are the 6 Sedarim, what's unique about Zeraim and Taharis as opposed to the other four? You would think they're one Masechta because they each only have one Masechta of Bavli. They each have many, 10 or more Masechtas, very good. No, that's the point. They each have, despite the fact that they each have 10 or more Masechtas, Mishnayas, but the Amoraim and Bavli did not compose a Talmud on the Masechtas of Zeraim except for Brachas, nor on the Masechtas of Taharis except for Nida, because those two Masechtas are Halacha L'maisa, even a Chutz La'aretz, Brachas and Nida, but the rest of Zeraim and Taharis, by and large, is not Nogeya, Bizmanas, and Chutz La'aretz. Yerushalmi, the Talmud Yerushalmi does have on all of Zeraim, because Amorai, Eretz Yisrael, were keeping the Mitzvah Tzulius Baretz. So Zeraim was as relevant for them as Moeder Nashim. They spent as much time learning Zeraim as they did Moeder Nashim in the yeshiva in Sipori, in the yeshiva in Tveria. So they wrote a Talmud Yerushalmi on Zeraim as well as Moed Nashim, Nezikin, and perhaps Tachim. But in Bavel, they didn't spend as much time on Zeraim and Taras. So they only wrote full Masechtas of Talmud Bavli on Moed Nashim, Nezikin, and Tachim. But not on Zeraim and Taras. But what do you do? But we need to know Shemitah Tzafim. We need to know Shemitah Tzafim. So the Gemara was looking for a home for a blot and a half of Sugis by Shemitah Tzafim. And Amoram said, here we go. Here's the address. Because I have one line. I have one line in a Mishnah Gittin in the series of Takanot Tikkun Olam. One of them is Prusbul. Boom. There you go. And so, Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, Lamed Vav Amud Beis, Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, Lamed Zayin Amud Beis are the primary, not the only, but the primary address of Shemitah's Ksafim in the Talmud Bavli. Now I want to think, though, about what the Mishnah told me. We know a little bit about Shemitah's Ksafim. Head down to the Beis Medrash, hopefully in the next couple of minutes. Begin to get our feet wet. With the Psukim, with the Gemaras. But first, let's just think about this for a moment. So everyone has a lot, even if you don't have a full Gittin in front of you, you do have a lot of Dalam and Beis. How many words does the Mishnah tell me about Shemitah's Ksafim? How many words?
Six.
Right, Hillel, Hiskin, Prusbul, then Tikkun Olam. Mishnayos, as I'm sure you know, and will come to appreciate more and more the longer you learn, are masterpieces of conciseness. Rav HaEichas Ma'at HaKamas. Rav HaNasi and his team were... The Rambam speaks in Hakdam to Pirush Mishnah about the... In addition to all his other milas, Rav Yehuda HaNasi's incredible capacity with language to fit so much into so few, into so many ideas, into so few words. What does that Mishnah tell me? Hillel Hiskin Prusbul V'Ein Tikkun Olam. So no one implies that there's something that Prusbul works against. It implies that there's the Din of Shemitah's Ksafim, which is dealt with extensively and explicitly in the 10th parak of Shviyas. But are these 6 words imply the Din of Shemitah's Ksafim? And what else do they tell me, obviously? What did you say? Right, there's a way to prevent it. There's a way to prevent it. Well, what's the way to prevent it? Making a Pro Bowl, right? Who created Pro Bowl? Hillel. Anything strike you as odd about that? Oh, yeah. Oh. It's very nice that Hillel wanted to undo Shemitah's Ksafim. We have to figure out why even he would want to undo it. We usually try to keep the mitzvahs. So the Mishnah here doesn't explain why, what the Tikkun Olam was. We'll get to that. But the question, for whatever reason, he had a valid cause to want to Shemitah-proof loans, to make them impervious to Shemitah, but how do you do that? I would like to be misakin. You have supply chain issues. Very hard to get matzah in 2020 into Boise, Idaho. No problem. We'll declare that this Pesach you're allowed to eat chametz in Idaho. Does that work? No. How does Hillel, by what authority does Hillel just cancel the Din D'Oraisa? You can't cancel Dinim D'Oraisa, can you? Or can you? Can you think of any other examples of where Chazal canceled the Din D'Oraisa? Are there other examples? Yeah?
Kriyashma,
wedding night, okay. Oh, the Kriyashma, the Mishnah does say that a chassan might be parted from Kriyashma, although it's not clear that's a din drabanan. It could be that osik nutsa patam, it's a din daraisa. Okay. If that's drabanan, that's an example. Yeah, what else?
Shofar
on Shabbos.
Having your shulchan in the sukkah.
Having your shulchan in the sukkah, good. Oh, that's very sharp. Although patamitz is a big machlok zirushon, which we're actually going to be very material to the machlok zirushon that's going to develop. Here's the machlok zirushon whether avelos is ever daraisa. Avelos for 7 days is drabanan. That's near unanimous. But there is the chachmei Ashkenaz, the Balei Tosfos seem to assume that avelos is entire shiva is entirely drabanan, and the chachmei Svar, the Ramban, the Talmidav, they seem to assume that a part of shiva is daraisa. It's very good. So the fact that so there may be situations if I'm not keeping a din daraisa because of avelos, that would be an example of an akira's davna Torah. Yeah, one more example. Lulav on Shabbos. Right? Lulav on Chol Moed is rabbanan, but lulav on Yom Tov, l'chachtechem b'yom rishon, lulav on Chol Moed is only daraisa in the Beis Hamikdash. But lulav on the first day of Yom Tov is daraisa all over the world. And yet, if the first day of the Yom Tov is Shabbos, then we skip it. Why don't we skip it? Shofar, Rishon falls down Shabbos, we skip it. Why don't we skip it? There are cases where Midrabanan, we tell someone not to bring Karban Pesach. There are cases where Midrabanan, we tell someone, you're supposed to bring Karban today, but you're going to have to wait another couple of days. Or another couple of years. We'll come across a fascinating story, Maseches Nazir. There are situations when Chazal tell us to ignore Dinim Daraisa. Once you start to think about it, they are there. The question is, what does that mean? I know that Chazal can take something mutter and make it usher, but Chazal can take something usher and make it mutter? Really? Doesn't strike us that way, but on the other hand, shofar and Shabbos. Okay? So this is something that requires thinking about. One of the major addresses of this sugya, the Akira's Dav Min HaTorah, is Gittin Daf Lamed Vav. That's the opening discussion that Gemara has about this Mishnah, is to figure out how could that be. And you're going to see, we're going to head to the Beis Merishon now in a couple of moments, and you're going to see that as you begin to see how the Gemara unpacks this Mishnah. Gemara begins by quoting, giving you background from the Mishnayos and Shmias, and then the Gemara has a series of kashas, a series of terutzim. You're going to have to pay careful attention to the unfolding of the Shaka Vitarium, because some of it is subtle, a lot of it requires understanding. Who's giving which answer to what, and who's not answering what to which kasha, and why, and there's a tremendous amount going on in between. And we're going to see a fantastic, organic blending of Cheshbin Shaka Vitarium Alam d'sham achlokas rishonim, and halacha l'maisa in terms of heter mechira. What one stance should be on the heter mechira actually flows in part from achlokas Rashi and Taisus, how to read the flow of the shaka v'tarya on gittin daf lamed vav amud al daf lamed vav amud. Everything comes together. Kol tar kulin in echadu. All the different types of tools in our toolbox, tools of cheshbon and tools of lamdas and tools of halacha l'maisa, all are going to come together very, very beautifully in this symphony of a sugya.